This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We are in a series on prayer. Amen. And I'm telling you, the Lord wants us praying. Amen. The Bible talks about we should be praying always without ceasing. And I believe that God wants to answer our prayers. Do you believe that today? And we've been focusing on the Lord's Prayer. How many people have the Lord's Prayer memorized? Amen? And you know, it's good to pray that, but I believe that you can take the Lord's Prayer and break it down and in your prayer time, and there's parts of the Lord's Prayer that you can pray out. So we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer this morning, and we're going to start with Luke 11, 1 through 4. And it says here, now it came to pass as he was praying. This is talking about Jesus. Jesus praying in a certain place. And I'm going to say this, it's good to have a certain place for you to pray. Amen. Some people used to call it your prayer closet. Have you ever heard that before, that term? Your prayer closet. You don't have to literally get into your closet and pray. Amen. So you don't have to, but you need to find a good place that you can pray. Amen. Because I really believe that God delights in answering our prayers. Thank you for that one amen over there. Amen. Some people don't pray because they don't see God answering their prayers quick enough. But God is never late. Amen. And he's never early. He's right on time. So it says here that Jesus was in a certain place. Amen. Praying. And when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins, as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Right there, do not deliver us in temptation, deliver us from the evil one. That's a good one to pray every day, amen? Because the devil is working against us. Have you noticed that? Since you start serving God, you know, the enemy is working against us, and that's why we need to be praying and stopping him in his tracks against us and our family, amen? We discovered in the first session of praying that we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. That's the proper way to praying. When you're praying and directing your prayers, you want to direct your prayers to the Father in Jesus' name. In John 16, Jesus says it this way in verse 23 and 24, in that day. Now he's talking about the day that he's in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And he says, in that day, you will ask me nothing, saying that you're not going to ask Jesus anything. But most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you ask nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be made full. So I like to say this, always add when you're praying in Jesus' name at the end of it. Amen. Because you're praying in the power of Jesus' name, not in your own power, not in your own authority. You're praying in the authority of Jesus. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. Amen. We also discover by praising God and petitioning him is a great way to see God work miracles in our lives. And I really believe this, in that first part of prayer in Matthew 6, 9, it says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We discovered that praise is a key to receiving miracles in our lives. Amen? And we should always, when we're getting close to God, we should always start off, before we ask God for things, to thank God for his goodness, his mercy, and his love. I like it in Psalms 104. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. God is blessed when we praise him. That opens the heart of God. Praise opens the heart of God, I really believe, to move on your behalf and on your family behalf. When you're praising Him, a lot of people got their miracles from Jesus when they would bow down and worship Jesus, and Jesus would answer their prayers. Jesus would do miracles when they praised and worship Jesus. Amen. And you know, this is where I want to put this in, is this is Palm Sunday. And Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of riding on a donkey into Jerusalem. And I just want to read this to you because it's not only okay to praise Father God, but we should also be praising Jesus. Amen. So when we're praising Father God in that time before we start petitioning God, we can also give Jesus all the praise. He deserves all the praise, doesn't he? And I like what it says in Matthew 21, 7 through 9. It says, they brought the donkey of the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. Talking about Jesus was set on the colt. And very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them out on the road. Then the multitude who went before all those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And I think that we need to be saying Hosanna a lot more. Amen. That carries a lot more weight than cursing the devil. Amen. I'm telling you, saying Hosanna carries a lot more weight. And I like that. Last week we talked about and we focused on the second part of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We discover praying God's kingdom come is praying God's righteousness, justice, mercy, and truth to come fully in our lives and our loved ones. When we get a revelation of God's righteousness, justice, mercy, and truth, it should bring peace and joy in our lives. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. Now, I like the Psalms 89, 14, 16. It really spells it out here. It says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. Then notice what comes after that. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. That's talking about us. And in the name they rejoice all day long. Do I have any rejoicers in the house? Do I have people that like to rejoice all day long? The Bible says that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we should grumble and complain about. No, we should rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We don't want to focus on the negatives of life. We want to focus on the good things. God is working things out, even though it may not look like He's working things out. You got to believe that. Say, I believe that. And last week, we found out last week, we can pray God's will on this earth. God's will is that He wants people to come to repentance. Do you believe that today? And so God wants everybody to be saved. He doesn't want anybody going to hell. He wants your family members saved, glory to God. And in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish. Notice that. That all should come to repentance. I love that. So I don't believe that God desires anybody, God doesn't will anybody to go to hell. He wills us all to go to heaven. Do you believe that today? But not all will go to heaven because everybody has a free will and you have to choose. You chose to come to church today. You used your free will and say, I'm going to worship God today, and God's going to bless you for it. Do you believe that today? And you using your free will to serve God. And when you honor God, guess what God's going to do in your life? He's going to honor you. When you start honoring God, God will honor you in your business, in your relationships. He will honor you in every area of your lives. You got to believe that today. Amen. So God's will is for all to come to repentance and get saved. And I like this. Getting people saved, I believe that it's going to take prayer and it's going to take preaching to get people saved. Do you believe that today? And I talked about that we have authority to bind the devil in our loved ones' lives. Amen. And we have that authority. In Luke 10, it says here in Luke 10, 19 through 20, it says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Somebody say, "I have authority." "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you." Notice that Jesus was talking to his disciples. He gave them authority to cast out devils. And he said, don't get so excited that the spirits are subject to you. The demonic spirits are subject to the Christian. Amen. You got to believe that. And they're subject in Jesus' name. If depression's trying to come your way, you bind it in Jesus' name. It cannot come your way. Amen. If anger is coming your way, you just take authority over it in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm telling you, you can take authority over the devil, not only in your life, but in the life of your family. Amen. I love that. We also have authority because we have a standing with the Heavenly Father because we're saved. If you're saved, you have a standing with the Heavenly Father. And the Bible says that God hears the prayers of the righteous. Amen. Somebody say, God's hearing my prayers. Amen. And I love this because in James 5:16, it says here, "Confess your trespasses to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed." Then he says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." Or another translation says that your prayers makes tremendous power available working in your life. Amen. Amen. So prayer time is never wasted time. Amen. I'm going to say it again. Prayer time is never wasted time. I believe that God's hearing our prayers and he's answering our prayers. Amen. In Acts 16:31, I want to give you a scripture that you can stand and believe for your family to be saved. I didn't hit on this last week, but the Apostle Paul said to the jailer, when the Apostle Paul and Silas were worshiping the Lord, there was an earthquake. And they were released and they came out of the jail and the jailer was going to kill himself. And Paul says, no need to kill yourself. All the people are still in the jail. They haven't moved out, which is a miracle. And so Paul is talking to the jailer and the jailer says, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says in Acts 6:31, he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household. Now, I believe that when he said you and your household, I believe that you can stand on that as a promise. I'm going somewhere this morning. As a promise for your family to be saved. Me and my household. Amen. And you need to stand on that scripture because when God will honor his word written in the book. Amen. He will honor. The Bible says he looks over his word to perform it. That his word will never return void. It will accomplish all that he declares that it will accomplish. So when you start praying God's word back to him, he will definitely answer it. Can I get a witness in the house today? So how do we pray for our loved ones? First of all, we break the power of the devil off their lives in Jesus' name. Then we pray that laborers will be sent to them so that they can hear the gospel. They may not listen to you, but they might listen to somebody else. Amen. Amen. They might hear maybe a preacher on TV. Amen. Or somebody online, and they might be preaching the scriptures and the word of God. They might hear that preacher, hallelujah, and get saved. Right. Amen. My brother got saved just watching an evangelist on TV. Amen. So you never know what God can do by praying that laborers would be sent. Then we ask God to give our unsaved ones the gift of repentance. Amen. And when God gives you the gift of repentance, it allows you, it's God drawing you by His Spirit to get saved. And I'm telling you, when He does that, you get saved. Hallelujah. I love that. So today we're talking about, give us this day our daily bread. I like this. So we're praying that. I believe that this could have two meanings. First, we can declare our daily bread, that God is meeting our financial needs. Amen. I believe that you can stand in the Word and believe that God can meet your financial needs. In Philippians 4:19, you can pray this. You can stand on this Word. And my God, somebody say, my God. I love this. Shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So you can pray like this. Thank you, Lord, that you're supplying all my need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't normally pray for my daily needs because God meets them, because the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. I don't focus so much on my daily needs. I can't remember the last time I was in need. Amen. Amen. I'm not trying to brag and boast this morning, but I can't remember the last time I really had a real need. Amen. God supplies all my needs. Now, I'm a tither and I give offerings, and God promises that when you tithe and give offerings, that He will open the windows of heaven. He will pour out blessings you cannot even contain. I've seen God's blessings on my life. Amen. Amen. Matter of fact, I had some people cutting my grass yesterday. Hallelujah. I thought the first cut, let somebody else do it. Amen. Amen. And they did a great job. I'm thinking about maybe hiring them. Amen. Come out every 2 weeks and cut the grass. Amen. Amen. Praise God. How many people love cutting grass out here? Okay. Come to my house in 2 weeks. Amen. We got some people raising their hand. They like to cut grass. I'm going to have them come over to my house then. They enjoy that. I like the finished product. Yeah. Anybody like the finished product out here? You know, I don't like all the work that goes in before it, but I like just sitting, just coming out and looking at it and not being an eyesore to my neighbors. You know what I'm saying? Because my grass was looking pretty bad. Everybody else's grass was cut, and the pastor's grass was looking bad. Amen. And so we believe that we can focus our part in prayer, not just on natural needs, but I believe it can be spiritual needs. Amen. I love this, but I like what Jesus said to the devil when the devil was tempting him in the wilderness, trying to make him turn the stones into bread. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I'm telling you, that's what we need. Every day, we need a fresh word from God. We need God revealing His truth to each one of us every day. Somebody say, a greater revelation, a greater understanding of God is what I need. Now, I'm going to give you some prayers this morning that if you start praying these prayers, I believe it's going to radically change your lives. One of the prayers I want to introduce and give us this day our spiritual bread is Jeremiah 33:3. Every time I see 3:3:3, I pray this prayer. And it says here, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. That's powerful. That's powerful. So I believe that this is a great prayer that you can pray in this time of your prayer time is that God will show you great and mighty things. This is how I would pray it. Heavenly Father, I'm calling on you, and I know you will answer me, and I'm asking you to show me great and mighty things that I do not know in Jesus' name. Start praying that every day and watch God start moving in your life, revealing truth. I'm telling you, these are powerful prayers. I'm glad you're out today. You're going to start praying these prayers. I believe that I'm raising up a mighty church that's going to walk in the greatness and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm raising up a church that will not be dominated by circumstances. I'm raising up the church that's going to be speaking to their circumstances and command their circumstances to be put under their feet. Can I get a witness in the house today? Get ready. I'm going to say this. You start praying these prayers, get ready for a move of God. Now, another thing, give me this day my spiritual bread. I like to include the Ephesian prayers. And these are prayers that the apostle prayed for the church of Ephesus. I know one pastor that started praying these prayers, and God started giving him so much revelation that it changed his entire life. Amen. He started writing books. God started revealing truth to him. And I'm telling you, God blessed his ministry tremendously after he started praying these prayers. In Ephesians 1, 15 and 20, it says here, "Therefore I also," this is Apostle Paul, "after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So it's good to give thanks to the Lord for the people that's influencing you in a good way in your prayers. Then he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches and glory of his inheritance in the saints, was exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believes, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly Father. So I believe we can pray these prayers, amen, for ourselves and for family members that's not walking in the fullness of God's light in their lives. And I believe that if you start praying these prayers, not just only for yourself, for spiritual enlightenment, and spiritual wisdom, that you can start praying it for your family members and they will start growing in Christ. Amen. I'm telling you, you better be glad that you came out here today, because I believe you're going to start doing this, praying these prayers. This is how I would start it out. I would say, "Heavenly Father, I'm asking you that you give me or my loved one a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God." Amen. Basically, this is praying that this will help us to know God better. Amen. I want a spirit of wisdom. I want a spirit of revelation. I want to know God better. Amen. And if you know God, I'm telling you, God will be moving in your lives. Then he goes on to say this, and we'll continue on this prayer line. "The eyes of my understanding would be enlightened." Amen. This will help us not to lack spiritual insights. Amen. Amen. We need spiritual. We need God revealing truth to us, revealing things to us, showing us things, opening our spiritual eyes. Amen. Have you ever looked in the refrigerator for the ketchup bottle? And you ask your wife, "Where's the ketchup at?" And it's right in front of you. It's sitting there. You know, you were looking too hard. You overlooked it. Amen. It's easy just to look past it, and it might even be there, right there. And sometimes, spiritually speaking, God is revealing things to us and we're not seeing it. Amen. And we need our understanding to be enlightened so that we can see what God is doing. Yes. Amen. "That I may know the hope of your calling." This we need to know what God wants us to do. We need to know what the hope of our calling is. I started out in church as a, just as an attendee, infrequently. Amen. Anyway, know what I'm talking about? And then I started coming out a little bit more. Amen. And then I started coming out, often. And then they asked me to become an usher because I showed up. Amen. You start showing up, we might be asking you to do a couple things in the church. Amen. And just because I showed up, they said, "Do you want to usher now? Because you're making it every Sunday morning." And so I said, "Yes." And then that put responsibility on me. Then I had to show up. Amen. Amen. It's good to have responsibility. Amen. It puts you in a position where you need to show up, even though you don't feel like showing up. I'm telling you, if you just show up, you beat 90% of the people. Amen. Just showing up. Amen. And so we need to know the hope of our calling. And so as I showed up, came to church, the calling of God for each one of us is to have a good church home and to be faithful to our church home. Amen. To show up, glory to God. And then as we show up, God can start revealing to us what He wants us to do. And then I ended up ushering, and I ended up doing youth ministry, working with the kids, and then I ended up pastoring, glory to God. And I'm telling you, it all goes into steps. And so you start following God in the little things, and God will show you bigger things to come. Do you believe that today? And God will bless your life. My life is blessed because I got one of the best congregations in Virginia Beach, glory to God. Amen. In the USA, hallelujah. Glory to God. I got a great, great company of people with me, amen. We're running our race. You never run your race by yourself. You have to run your race in a group, amen. We can't run our race by ourselves. That's why you need church. We need each other, amen. And amen. And so we need to know the hope of our calling. Then the next part of it says that I may perceive what is the riches and glory of His inheritance in the saints. We need to know how important we are to the plan and the purpose of God. Do you know how important you are to God? How God loves you so much. Amen. That He gave His very best, His Son Jesus, so that He could have a relationship with you. God's plans and purposes are amazing for each one of us, and you got to get a revelation of that. You are important to the plan of God. The devil will always try to make you think, oh, God doesn't care about you. You're not really that important to God. No, you are very important to the plans and the purposes of God. God created it all for us. God created this planet for us. Amen. God, I really believe, created heaven for us. Amen. Glory to God. And so I believe that we getting a revelation of our importance will bring us to that next level in our faith. And then what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believes? This helps us realize how powerful God is, especially in raising Jesus from the dead. It says the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believes. In other words, as we believe, the power is directed back to us. As we believe the power that God did in raising Jesus from the dead, as we believe, it opens the door for the power of God to work in our lives. Amen? Now, the Apostle Paul has a second part of this prayer, and it's in Ephesians 3:14. I like to pray these prayers back to back. Because you know why? And I tend to try to pray these prayers every day. Now, I just not only pray the prayers for me, I'm putting you guys in there too. Because I want God's working His blessings and His grace in your lives. So I pray these prayers over you like the Apostle Paul prays the prayers over the Ephesian church. Glory to God. Somebody say, "I'm growing." Amen. You're growing in Christ. Amen. And then this is the next part. It says here in Ephesians, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." I love that. So he's bowing his knees. Notice he's directing his prayer to the Father. Notice that? Like I said, we direct our prayers to the Father in Jesus' name. Amen. Then he would grant, he says here, that he would grant to you according to his riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. This is a great prayer to pray, that God will strengthen us with his might through his Spirit in our inner man. In other words, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, somebody say, it dwells in me. And it will quicken and make alive your mortal body. God doesn't want us burning out. Amen. Amen. He wants us refiring. Amen. And I believe that as we pray this prayer, that he will strengthen us in our inner man, that will keep us going and going like the Energizer Bunny. We'll never retire. We'll just refire. I know there's ministers that I follow that are in their 80s and they're still preaching. Amen. They haven't. Why? Because they're going not on their strength. They're going on the strength of the Lord. You know, most people will retire at 65 or 67, say, I'm done working, right? But I'm telling you, most preachers don't quit. I'm never going to quit. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep going and going and going until I can't go any longer. Amen. Until God calls me home. Amen. Until I'm fully satisfied. Amen. Glory to God. And I like this in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So God, again, doesn't want you burning out. He wants you running hard for him. The second part of this prayer is that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. This is saying that we live our lives well-pleasing to God, that he delights in dwelling in us. That's powerful. So when we live our lives just right, that means that we're not upsetting the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit can be grieved with some of our actions. That's what the Bible teaches. So the Holy Spirit, but we want to live our life where the Holy Spirit's not grieved, but he's blessed by our lifestyle. Amen. I like in Colossians 1:10, it said that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now here is the third part of this prayer, that you be rooted and grounded in love. This is probably one of the most powerful parts of the prayer, because love is the key to our faith. Faith works by love. And has the devil ever tried to get some of you out of love in here? Have you ever, the devil try to get you upset and angry and bitter and work? That's what the devil does. But there's three things. We're grounded in God's love. There's three key blessings that will come out of being grounded in God's love. Being rooted and grounded in God's love will keep us in perfect unity with God and the body of Christ. When you're in perfect unity with God and the body of Christ, the Bible talks about there's a commanded blessing that will come in your lives. Unity with the Father and with others. I like what it says in Colossians 3:14. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. I love that. The Amplified puts it this way. Beyond all these things, put on and wrap yourself in unselfish love, which is the perfect bond of unity, for everything is bound together in agreement when each one seeks the best for others. Amen. I love that. The second key to being rooted and grounded in God's love, it will keep the offense out of our lives. Has anybody ever been offended in here? Don't raise your hand. I'll raise my hand twice. Amen. And we've all been offended every once in a while. But you know what? We need to pray for those that offend us. And we can't allow. When we allow ourselves, when we pray that God will root us and ground us in our love, in the love of God, it will keep the offense out of our lives. This is a great prayer to pray. God, root me and ground me in your love. Amen. And I love that. And in 1 John 2:10, it says, anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them that will make them stumble. Let me give you the Amplified on this. The one who loves and unselfishly seeks the best for his believing brothers lives in the light, and in him there is no occasion for stumbling or offense. He does not hurt the cause of Christ or lead others to sin. That's powerful. That's powerful. So love will keep us in unity. Love will take the offense out of our lives. And number three, when we're rooted and grounded in God's love, it will keep the fear out of us. And I'm telling you, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. And what is the enemy trying to do? He's trying to get us to worry. He's trying to get us to fret. He's trying to get us to focus on the storms of life. But we need to focus on the bigness of God. And so I'm telling you, when you're rooted and grounded in God's love, it will take the fear, the worry, the hesitation out of your lives. Do you believe that today? In 1 John 4:18, let me give you a scripture that backs what I just said. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So we see these three blessings when we're rooted and grounded in God's love. We have unity, glory to God. We will not be offended, and that love will keep the fear out of our lives. That's a good part of the prayer to be praying every day. Amen. Now he says, may you be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge. When we get understanding of the love of Jesus for us, we'll become conquerors in the kingdom of God. Get a revelation. The Apostle John got a revelation that Jesus was the one that loved him more than all the other disciples. Amen. Now, we know Jesus loves everybody equally, amen? But he was saying, I'm the disciple that Jesus loves the most. He was bragging. Don't brag so much on your love for Jesus. Start bragging more on Jesus' love for you. I'm going to say that again. Don't be bragging so much, oh, I love Jesus. No, start bragging how much Jesus loves you and watch your faith take wings and fly to the heights of the mountains. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus loves me. Amen. Jesus loves you, baby. Amen. Jesus loves you. Amen. And you got to believe that Jesus loves you. Amen. And I'm trying. Glory to God. Amen. And so in Romans 8:31, it says this, what shall we say these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him for us, how shall we not be with him freely give us all things? How shall he not with him freely? In other words, God allowed Jesus to go through the cross. Well, he's saying that God won't withhold any good thing from us. If he wasn't willing to withhold his son, Jesus, he's not willing to withhold any good thing from us. And I like what it says in Romans 8:37, talking about being rooted and understanding God's love for us. Yea, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then in Romans 8:38 says, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I love that. Amen. No devil in hell can keep that love of God from coming into your lives. And then the fifth part of this prayer, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Smith Wigglesworth, a powerful evangelist in the 40s that did miracles for God, he would say at times, filled with God, empty of self and filled with God. I believe he got it from this scripture right here in Ephesians. We are to be filled with the fullness of God. And when we are filled with the fullness of God, then there's no room for self to get in our lives. What do I mean by self? Amen. I mean that there are negative selves that will try to live in our lives. What's negative self? Self-centeredness. Self-centeredness is concerned solely with one's own desire, needs, and interests. And so when we're full of God, self-centeredness leaves our lives. It says in Philippians 2, 3, and 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each one of you look not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Amen? See, when we live a servant life, when we're living a life to serve God and to serve people, I'm telling you, we will be full of God. Amen? Because Jesus didn't come down here to be served, the Bible says. He came to serve and give his life as a ransom for mankind. Jesus didn't come down here just for people to serve him. Amen? No, he served us by going to the cross. Amen? And then another negative self is self-loathing. So we have self-centeredness and self-loathing. Self-loathing is hatred of oneself. Do you ever look in the mirror and say, I hate that part of myself? Amen? You ever look in the mirror and say that to yourself? Well, you're not supposed to hate any part of yourself. Amen? In other words, God made you, he created you, and you should love what God loves, and he loves you. Amen? And so I like what it says in Psalms 139, 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Glory to God. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us the blessings, when we start praying these prayers, we're going to see God move. I like what it says, the next scripture at the end of these Ephesian prayers in this verse. It says in Rome, it says here, I will praise you for, it says here, now he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above more than we can ask or think according to the power that works within us. When you're praying these Ephesian prayers, when you're praying, God, show me great and mighty things I know not of, I'm telling you, God will do, he will do exceedingly, he'll do abundantly, he'll do above more than we can ask or think. And when we start praying these prayers, get ready, strap on your seatbelt, because God's about ready to take you for a ride of your life, and it's going to be an amazing life that God has created for each one of you. So I want to encourage you, when you're walking out these doors today, there's Ephesian prayers on that table to the right of you. Grab the Ephesian prayers and pray them every day for you and your family, and watch God move mightily in your lives. Did you receive it today? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness. I thank you for the people present here, those watching and listening. Perhaps you never made a decision for Jesus, where the Bible says today is a day of salvation. So I want to invite you to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Just pray this simple prayer and mean your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with us. And if you are here locally, come out, be a part of Exceed Life Church. We want you to come out and be a part of our church services. And if you're not here locally, find a good church home that will help you grow in Christ.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.